for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 12th Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Friday evening, February the 15th, 2008. Junie Copeland is the speaker of this service, teaching on There is a Deliverance That We Have Not Experienced.
Well, greetings to everybody. Before I get started, I'd like to introduce my mother, my traveling buddy, one of them this time. And my very dear friend, Charlotte Alice, she's our chauffeur. And we're blessed to have the same grandchildren. My children married her children, so we're intertwined with soon to be four grandchildren now. So anyway, I'd like for Mother to come up and share a little bit. And
hello, everybody. Hello. My name is Maxine Lonigan, and I just thank the Lord tonight for the presence of God that I feel here. Amen. And it's just so great. It's so great to be with such a good bunch of ladies that love the Lord.
Amen.
I want to praise the Lord tonight and give you my testimony. About 17 years ago, I had open heart surgery. And then my kidneys failed, and I almost went on to the other side. In fact, the doctor said I was going to go. But the churches got together, and they prayed, and I'm still here tonight. And I thank God He's been so good to me. I have raised 8 children, me and my husband, and I still got them all alive, and I thank God. And they're precious children. All of them go to church. Love the Lord. And I just want to thank God tonight for this privilege and for my baby daughter that's going to minister to you. Now, I'm telling you, she's got a ministry that the family never thought that she would ever have. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. When she was just, we might say, knee-high to a grasshopper. She's just a little bitty thing. She could just barely stand up. She had a little chair she sat on. She was out in the yard playing all by herself. She was having church. And she knelt down by that little old thing and prayed in her little old baby prayer. And then she'd get up and she'd preach. Actually, I got the picture of how she did that. We had it blown up once, and I was going to bring it up to our ladies' meeting and stick it up on the wall and say, guess who? But I haven't done it. But I'm so proud of her, and I'm so glad to be here tonight, to be able to be here. God has been good to me. God bless you. I'm going to let Junie have it back.
Well, after an introduction like that, but that is my mother. Well, I am Junie Copeland. My husband and I pastor a church in Bengal, Oklahoma, which is about 3 hours from here. And we've been coming to Lake Hamilton for, oh goodness, I don't know how long. Seems like a while. But we have always enjoyed it and been blessed every time we came. And I have always left amazed at the people that God just brings in here. Just from everywhere, I have just been astounded. And I think Brother Glenn is probably one of the bravest men that I have ever met. And the reason I'm saying that is because he's here with all of this estrogen flowing around. He's got to be one of the bravest men around. And he's even sporting that little red tie. Well, how many of you here have come seeking a deeper walk with the Lord?
Amen.
Are you really sure about that?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what that means. If you really want a deeper walk with God, that means you have to be committed. To not walk just necessarily by feelings, to not be led around by just your feelings, but by the truth of God. Satan will put thoughts in your mind that will, he just lies to you. You know, he picks every opportunity. And one of the ladies here tonight said that they're usually sneaky. You may have been facing all kinds of issues in your life. Maybe your husband has left you, you know, for another woman. But the truth is, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. You know, whatever we face in life, we can learn from that. And go on. How does royalty act? Royalty acts like royalty. You know, I was looking around earlier while we were praise and worship, and it was just so sweet because I thought, you know, I'm here in a bunch of women that love to worship the Lord, because every one of you was just caught up and worshiping the Lord. And I thought, this is true royalty. This is really true royalty. We're daughters of the King.
Amen.
And we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to act like it. I didn't come tonight to impress you. If you could just put your hand right there, you could feel blah, 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 blah. I just hate that, because we're here, you know, as women, and if you were up here in my spot, your little heart would be doing that too. So, anyway, I'm just going to relax. We're going to have fun this weekend. We came to have some fun. Did you? Did you not? So let's relax. Let's be who we are in Christ, and let's enjoy one another. And let's get out of the uptight feeling. Okay, let's just relax. All right, Moses stood looking at the Red Sea. Now, can you imagine? I want you to think about this for a minute. Moses stood looking at the Red Sea, and here it was. It was just rolling water. It was wide. And he thought, what am I going to do? This is a big problem. And he was probably feeling pretty overwhelmed by it. And he knew that Pharaoh and his armies was probably somewhere getting pretty close. You know, and maybe I should just send up a white flag of surrender, and maybe Pharaoh will just let us all go back home and move into our huts and make bricks again for 100 years, even though we hated the job, and these people would be safe, and, you know, because this Red Sea looked horrible. And you stop to think about it, they had a hard life. You know, but maybe Pharaoh would have pity upon them and let them go back. And it looked like an impossibility, this Red Sea. After all, he wasn't there by himself. He had at least 1 million people behind him. Now, can you imagine? You know, the movie doesn't do it justice. There is no way. There is no way Charles Heston can do it justice. I mean, the awesomeness, you know, from the people to the animals. I mean, you're talking about a huge, huge crowd that is come to a halt at this Red Sea, wondering, what are we going to do? But God said, stretch forth your hand. Moses. God said it. What if Moses had decided, maybe I need to think about this. Maybe God really didn't say that. Have you ever had maybes in your life? We all have had maybes. Maybe God really didn't tell me to go pray for that person or call that person on the phone. Maybe that was just me. Or maybe God really didn't tell me to give that an offering. Or, you know, maybe. Maybe I'm supposed to live in poverty, even though God said He'd supply all my needs. You know, maybe I'm supposed to just suffer with this sickness, even though God said, by my stripes you are healed. You know, we've all faced maybes. But God said, Moses, stretch forth your hand.
Hallelujah.
And in faith and confidence in God, he obeyed. You know, he had seen God do all of these wonders back in Egypt. He had seen all of that. And so when he... Well, let's turn your Bible. Exodus chapter 14. I want to read just a little bit of it. Chapter 14, verse 16. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. In verse 19, the scriptures say that the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to a position behind them, and a pillar of cloud also moved around behind them. The cloud settled between the Israelite and the Egyptian camps. As night came, the pillar of cloud turned into a pillar of fire, lighting the Israelite camp. And the cloud became darkness to the Egyptians, and so they couldn't find the Israelites. That wasn't on the movie. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Every one of them walked across on dry land, animals and all. The enemy that was on their tail was swallowed up in the sea. Mm-mm-mm. What is your enemy that's had you captive for years? What's had you bound? Is it depression? Oppression? Is it fear? Is it sickness? Rejection? You know, the list goes on and on and on. What's had you bound? Maybe you think it's just normal. You know, we've been bound sometimes so long that we just think it's, you know, that's just life. That's just the way it's supposed to be. But I believe that you have hope in God because you're here this weekend. You came for something. And I got tickled earlier because Patty said, you know, sometimes God will meet your need different than what you expect. I forget how you said it. And I thought, you know, just keep an open mind there. Because you don't know what God has in store for you this weekend. And just keep your heart and your mind open. And you'll be surprised what God will do. A couple months back, but have you ever had a dream where you wake yourself up speaking something? Well, I woke myself up, and this is what I was saying. There is a deliverance in God that we have not as of yet experienced. There is a deliverance in God that we have not as of yet experienced. It's time to stretch forth your hands, girls. You know, you might have came here, you might have left a situation at home that might seem as awesome to you as the Red Sea did to Moses. But God said, stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. Mm-mm-mm. Don't stand looking at circumstances and think there's no hope or no way out, because God is faithful. He always, 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 always provides a way of escape. And that scripture is in 1 Corinthians, if you want to look at it. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. I'm not going to read it, but you can make a note of it. I do want to read Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. It says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." The righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, there's just flat times I don't feel bold as a lion. But he says the righteous are as bold as a lion. I want to tell you something that is so comical. But to me at the time it was comical, but Brother Glenn, it just thrilled me so much. We was here at a meeting, Dell and I, and I don't remember what meeting it was even. It was an afternoon service. And this scripture fits Brother Glenn right here. But we was sitting back over here, and there was a gentleman on the second row up here, and someone was up praying deliverance, and I don't even know who was speaking then. But this gentleman just went into this hollering like the kung fu karate type, the Eastern religion type thing. Y'all remember that? Yeah. Anyway, he was flailing his arms around and doing his little karate thing and hollering. And Brother Glenn was standing up here and he had his back to him. It's when the table and tapes and stuff was up here. And he heard that and he turned around and looked at that guy. And then he was on top of him, just like that. I mean, it was just like he pounced over the seat. And it was just, he was bold as a lion. And we just sat back there. It was so funny. I thought, man, that devil didn't know what got hold of him. It was so funny. And I have laughed about that since. You know, it's been a few years back. But, and this is a big guy. And here, Brother Glenn, you know, he has pounced right over there. But the righteous is bold as a lion. All right, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm going to read a little bit out of the New Living because I like this translation in this scripture here. I'm going to start at verse 3. This is a very familiar story, Bible story. But I just want to bring it to your attention a little bit different tonight. Verse 3 says, "So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was a giant of a man, measuring over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet and a coat of mail that weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leggings, and he slung a bronze javelin over his back. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam." And if you've ever done any studying on that, that's huge. "Tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. An armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a huge shield." Now just stop and think about this for a minute. This was a big man, measuring over 9 feet tall. Now, he wasn't some little wimpy guy. He was a big, you know, I think the terminology nowadays is he was buff. You know, I've got boys at home, and they're, some of our guys is, started going to the gym and they're weightlifting and all this stuff, but Goliath had it on him. He was really buff. "Goliath stood and shouted across to the Israelites, 'Do you need a whole army to settle this?' Well, my word, he was huge. They felt like they did. 'Choose someone to fight for you and I will represent the Philistines. We will settle this dispute in single combat.'" Well, he was pretty mouthy, wasn't he? "'If your man is able to kill me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel. send me a man who will fight with me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Verse 41 says, Goliath walked out toward David. You know the story, how David went to Saul and said, hey, I can take this guy. Now here, Brother Glenn. Now here, I can take this guy. He was bold as a lion. He knew what God had done for him. And so Goliath walked out toward David in verse 41 with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. David shouted in reply, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you. You notice he said the Lord will conquer you. He didn't say I can take care of you. He said the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone will know that the Lord does not need weapons to rescue his people. Whoa! It is his battle, not ours. The Lord will give you to us. And as Goliath moved closer to attack David, I want you to look at this. David quickly ran to meet him. Quickly, that's what I want you to see. David quickly ran to meet him. David quickly ran to meet this 9-foot-tall bust of a man, carrying all this armor and wearing all this bronze stuff. He quickly ran to meet him. But here was a guy that knew God, that knew his place in God, knew how mighty God was. But you know, it didn't just happen overnight. You know the story. You know, David spent time with God, didn't he? He sang to the Lord, ministered to the Lord. The Lord ministered to David. David knew him. It takes commitment and dedication to get to know someone. Let me tell you, he's not way off somewhere across the galaxy that you have to hope he hears you when you holler. He's not somewhere on vacation, but he's here. He's right here. Just a mention of his name, and he's right there. And David knew that. So he quickly ran to meet him. What if David had run out there and got up close and seen how really tall he was and said, whoops, I think I changed my mind. Like, I'll go back and talk to Saul about this again. No, he quickly. What if he didn't know what to do when he got there? You know, this is very important. It's one thing to run and meet the giant, but it's another thing to know what to do when you get to the giant. And you know, Satan doesn't play fair. You know, as you notice, we read how Goliath had taunted David and told him all these things he was going to do to him. And, you know, I'm going to feed you to the buzzards and, you know, just blah, blah, blah. All this stuff. Have you ever had Satan put these thoughts in your head like, you know, how you just kind of imagine, you know, like I remember one time Dell had went on a trip and, you know, thoughts started going through my head. Well, you know, if he has this accident, he might not ever come back. And you know, you could see yourself going through a memorial service and how am I going to raise these kids without him? And the whole scenario. Well, Satan doesn't play fair. Doesn't play fair. And so you have to run quickly to meet it. a while back, I was sharing with Patty, a couple weeks back we had flu hit the household. And it happened on Saturday night. My 16-year-old started throwing up, and I mean, he was just sick. And when he gets anything like that, he's sick. I mean, just it really hits him hard, harder than anybody else in the family. And every 10 minutes, you know, it was just up and down all night. And it got so bad that by 6 o'clock in the morning, he told me, he said, "Mom, I just can't stand it no more. Just take me to the doctor. I just can't handle it no more." Well, I knew the doctor didn't want him, the emergency room didn't want him over there with all that. So, you know, we had been praying for him and stuff, and we just kind of calmed down, went to sleep. Well, it just kind of went through the family. Dale ended up, you know, feeling bad, and by that afternoon, I was in the middle of it, and we had, Charlotte and I had to take a trip, and so I got sick while we was on the trip, and thought we never would get home. But I had crawled into bed as soon as we got home, and I was laying there, and I was thinking about this scripture. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "David ran quickly to meet the giant." Well, here I am feeling so bad, and I knew what the giant was. So I just went into prayer mode. Have you ever been in prayer mode? And so I started praying and rebuking the sickness off of the family, and, you know, taking authority over this spirit of infirmity, and just really, and it started easing off, and I went to sleep. And it's important. You have to know what to do when you face the giant. Are you facing a giant? You know, it could be anything from financial pressures to anything. Whatever is big to you right now is the giant you're facing. And we all have issues. Whatever it is. But David ran quickly to meet the giant. You know, it's easy to say, "I'm just timid. I don't have that boldness. I'm not really an aggressive person." You know, women are, we're known for that. You know, most of us. That's just not me. You know. But that's not true. Not true. The scripture says you are to be bold as a lion. God don't care if you're a little bee skinny woman. He don't care if you're a big man or vice versa. He just don't care. He needs somebody that will speak his word. Amen. Will speak his word. The Spirit of God inside of you, that's where he is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is he cowardly? Mm-hmm. Is he timid? Is he shy?
No.
He's mighty inside of you. I want you to say that. Say, "He is mighty inside of me."
He is mighty inside of me.
I don't think you believe that. Say it again.
He is mighty inside of me.
Yes! I think you got it, man. He is mighty inside of me. He's mighty inside of you. Because I can see it on your face. We had a lady, Charlotte and I, had a lady tell us, two or three ladies say, "What kind of makeup do you wear?" Well, we kind of proceeded to tell them, you know, it wasn't no big secret. But they said, "Your face just shines. I really would like that." You know, and I wanted to say, "Well, you know, I know what it is." I really wanted to tell them, but I didn't think they could handle that, you know, because some, well, anyway. Jesus had sent his disciples on ahead to the other side of the lake while he went up to the mountain to pray. And somewhere about between 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning, he shows up in the midst of the storm, walking on the water. Peter wanted to get out of the boat, walk on the water. But he didn't just jump out of the boat. He said, "Lord, if that's really you, would you just bid me to come?" You know, if he'd have been overly bold, he would have just jumped jumped out of the boat and took off. But he said, Lord, if that's you, if you really want me to do this, tell me to come, and I'll come to you. You know, most of the time we read this story, we kind of focus on Peter losing faith and sinking. But it took a lot for him to step out of the boat. I mean, when the waves are rolling and the wind's blowing and probably thunder and lightning, you know, how many of you would feel led to just step down the boat? Even if Jesus said, come, just come. How many of you, well, that's probably really wasn't the Lord. That was just the devil, because it's really storming, and I would sink, so that's probably the devil telling me to come because he was trying to kill me. You know, we reason all this out, don't we? That Jesus said, and Peter had just said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. So Jesus said, come. He's come. I'm not so sure I would have felt led, because I don't know how to swim. And I'm not real crazy about being in the water. Over knees deep, you know. So, you know, I can wade around a little bit, but my kids say, Mom, come on out here. It's deeper. It's really fun. Nah, I'm fine right here. You know, so I'm not sure I would have felt led to have come. It would have took a big effort for me to even think about walking on the water. Matthew chapter 14. This is where it talks about it. Verse 28 and 29. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Come on, Peter. Walk on the water. Keep your eyes on me, because I am that I am. So what has Jesus told you to do? You know what? If your heart's right and you've done your best to seek God and you've done what you know to hear God and what you feel in here is right, then you've just got to step out in faith. Just step out of the boat. Just step out. You know, we're on a journey. We are on a journey. We're not where we was, but thank God we're not where we're going to. I'm not where I need to be, but I'm on a journey and I'm going to get there. So don't be depressed about how far you have to go. You know, sometimes, you know, you get to looking, well, you know, here I am 50 years old and I, you know, I really thought I would be doing this and so, and you know, and you would get depressed if you're not careful. But just be thankful that how far you've came. How far you've came. God's not finished with you yet.
Amen.
He'll mold you and He'll form you into His image and likeness. Peter found himself denying Jesus. Fear had taken over him. You know, he had forgotten about the man that came walking on the water in the midst of the storm. He forgot about that. And when the young lady said, aren't you one of His disciples? Fear took over and he denied it. He denied that he even knew Jesus. He had forgotten about the ancient of days that he seen walking on the water. He had forgot it. Fear gripped his heart. But that's not the end of the story. That is not the end of the story. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, in Acts chapter 2, I love this. I love it. I love it. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And how can they be that except the Holy Spirit is within them? The Holy Spirit is what gives you boldness. They were all in one accord in one place. Exactly what does that mean? We are all here in one place. We're all in one accord because we came for one purpose, didn't we? I didn't come to impress you. You didn't come to impress me. We just came to be together and to worship God and to edify His name. That's why we're here. And they were all in one accord, in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound. from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Every one of them was filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And let me tell you, Peter was never the same. From that moment on, he was never the same. Fear no longer gripped his heart. He no longer had a problem with fear. But he stood up in the midst of the multitude and he began to declare who Jesus was.
Hallelujah.
And who he is in the midst of them. He was filled with boldness. How many of you desire that tonight? To be consumed with the Holy Spirit. Moses, it's time to stretch forth your hand. Girls, it is time to take your position in Christ, in your families, in your marriages, in your community, in the surrounding area. It is time to stretch forth your hand and do that which God has called you to do. Jesus said, come. Come on, Peter. It's time to get out of the boat. It's time to do something. You know, we can sit till we have calluses and just wish God would move. You know, maybe this is just not the day. I just wish God would move. I just wish my husband would find the Lord. I just wish my children would know God. It's time to get on the boat. It is time to get up. Hey, well, girls, it's just time to get off your hiney and do something. Now, it just is. Quit just being somebody that is always mouthing. Hello? Stand to your feet. Sister Jane, I want you to come and sing that song. I love that song. We are sheep. That new one. Yes, he's gathering his sheep.
He's gathering his sheep from the strongholds of Satan, calling the wounded, the sick and the lame, binding up their curses, deliverance has come. Saints are praising Him.
those of you that would like for us to lay hands on you, Mom has a gift of impartation of the Holy Spirit. We all do, but I know she does. This is her calling. One of them. And if you would like for her to lay hands on you, I would like you to just form a line and just kind of make a circle. We're not going to wear her out. We're going to do it quickly. Form a line. Get right here in front of her. Let her just lay hands upon you. Yes. Start right here.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.